Our scripture for this morning is on the back of your bulletin. It's from the second epistle to Timothy, chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and, I am persuaded, now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. May the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word and of our hearing of it. And for the past several Sundays, I've attempted to present concepts borne out by scriptural instruction. That is, by teachings that we receive from all over the Word, all over the Bible, that help us to see God's intent for the Christian home, for the godly home in the Old Testament, for the Christian home in the New Testament. And some of my messages, the sermons, over the past weeks have been pretty direct in highlighting the home and its dynamics, such as the Mother's Day sermon or the message last week featuring Joshua and his affirmation, "As for me and my house." And you know what he said. Others have been less direct, such as the sermon on Graduate Sunday of last month that simply pointed to the values being taught in the Christian home. As young people are working their way through the maze of secular values that are inevitable in the years of public education. Today, I want to continue the emphasis on the Christian home in a very direct way, contrasting the outcome of one home with another, a home where serious problems existed, resulting in a terrible conclusion, and the other home where godliness was stimulated. And by the way, I will continue emphasis on the Christian home next week, that being Father's Day. And don't we fathers have a major responsibility? Granted, not all homes with conflict and troubles have as bad an outcome as the one that I've chosen as an example. But I believe any home deficient in the teachings and the love of Christ will have consequential problems of one sort or another. And I sincerely believe a devoted Christian home will inevitably produce productive, exemplary family members. So here's the negative example. And this is extreme, but it's illustrative. Way back in the early part of the last century, a boy got into a terrible argument with his father. And the father had no strong Christian principles. Well, he had no Christian principles. He lost his temper as usual, and this time he slapped the boy hard across the face. And the boy ran crying out of the house and climbed up some rocks above a lake. And he was sobbing almost uncontrollably. He blurted out that he was going to drown himself. Everyone who had rushed after him knew that he meant it. One of those who ran after him, his father, was continuing to yell and scream after him. The scene was loud and violent, and all the family and half of the town became involved. Finally, they got the father under control and got the boy back home, got him to come back home. And after that day, an awful bitterness remained between the father and son. And the bitter son grew into a gruff and abrupt and bad-tempered man, and he terribly misused other people. In fact, that young boy became a young man, and he finally reached the point where he was considered by most as one of the most dangerous men in the world. His name was Mao Zedong. You know of his reputation, the former dictatorial leader of the communist Red China. Would a Christian home have made any difference? Well, we can only speculate, but the obvious lack of Christian belief and behavior in that home did, in fact, have a strong influence on the nature of that boy who grew into a surly and offensive man. On the other hand, completely on the other hand, a godly, thoroughly Christian home surely made a difference in the life of a man named Timothy. He was born, reared, and instructed in what Paul pictured for us as a God-fearing home. Starting with his grandmother's faith, passed on to his mother's faith, and the encompassing influence of that home life, it became Timothy's own personal faith and growth. It was not a proxy faith or impersonal or meaningless faith. It was such a vital influence in his home that it overflowed his life. Now, through the years in churches with strong Christian families and strong Christian homes, I have observed the truth in this. And there are public figures, even in our present age, that we can easily see the results of such an influence. One that stands out to me is Franklin Graham, perhaps the better known of five children of Billy and Ruth Graham. While his ministries that we know of, such as Samaritan's Purse and Operation Christmas Child, have brought his name to the forefront, the other four children of Billy and Ruth are also leaders in their own Christian ministries. That family, many other factors, in addition to that kind of family, convinced me that one of my deepest convictions is that I believe in a Christian home. Now, there are many other factors, but this morning I want to point out three major imprints of the Christian home that make me believe in it. There are the imprints or the influences of the distinctiveness of a Christian home, the dynamic force of such a home, and the dividends or the rewards of a home that's dedicated to Christ. I believe in the distinctiveness of the Christian home. Do all homes basically look the same? No, they don't. There are a lot of differences that we could point out. But in our consideration for today, there are distinctive differences in a Christian home. One difference, perhaps a major difference, is love. This is, of course, not a sentimental, selfish love, but a maturing attitude of thoughtfulness and consideration of others. It is the love that seeks to give to another's basic needs without looking for anything in return. This is God's kind of love. It is Christian love. It is the Bible's description of love. It is the love of 1 Corinthians 13, where real love is defined as God's kind of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. This is the love that I never fail to encourage in young couples who are with me in counseling for marriage, the love that will build a lasting marriage and a Christian home. This is the distinctive love commanded by Christ when he was asked to define the greatest commandment of God. Briefly, love God and love your neighbor, including your family, as you love yourself. Another distinction is happiness or joy. Joy is a mark of the love of God in the Christian life and home. Some of the parting words of Jesus to his faithful followers in his concern for the development of their lives, how love produces joy. He said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." You see, the Christian home delights in joy and laughter, good laughter. There are those who live there who know the meaning and the ministry of a smile, and they practice it often. The happiest homes I know, and I'm sure you know, are Christian homes. A third and very important distinction is forgiveness. Some homes know way too much about quarrels and feuds and fusses and friction, whereas when any kind of strife has any chance to rear its ugly head in a Christian home, the members of that home are quick to practice forgiveness. Now, just admitting to realism, even in a Christian home, sometimes unkind words are said in haste and a flare of anger. But in that home, following the instruction of Jesus himself, forgiveness is asked for, forgiveness is received, and the fellowship resumes. Mind you, this is not just a suggestion from our Lord Jesus. Following up in the context of the model prayer where Jesus prayed, "Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us," he added, not as a suggestion, but as instruction to his followers after he concluded that prayer. "If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins." Forgiveness, always forgiveness. That is the spirit of Jesus Christ in a home. We cannot exist joyfully as a family without it. So remember and reinforce those distinctives in your own Christian home. Godly love, joyful happiness, and always forgiveness. Another thing I believe is in the dynamic force of a Christian home. I'll get that out. Don't worry. In our times when the home is attacked by inappropriate emphasis of such things as greedy wealth and self-seeking status and improper sexuality, there is an inner dynamic that will save the home. The dynamic force of faith, a believing relationship toward and with Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we cannot possibly experience a dynamic that is an active and vibrant and relationship with God apart from Jesus. As he plainly said, as recorded in John 14:6, "No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the dynamic. Is what a dictionary defines as dynamic, the energy and the forceful, effective action, our force of faith. For Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, Jesus was the dynamic of their lives. The first 46 verses of John 11 are devoted to the story of the home of those three and the death of Lazarus. At the time of Lazarus' death, Jesus came to that home knowing what he would do. And he presented them with a question, "Do you believe?" The faith answer of Martha was, "Lord, I believe." In that relationship, there was the dynamic of power and light and life and the energy of faith. Accompanying that dynamic faith is dynamic worship. I don't mean that dead, formal, unmoving type of worship you sometimes get in a church. You don't ever get that here, of course, but I don't mean that. A kind of worship that makes no difference to a person. But by dynamic worship here, I mean a personal, living, daily relationship with the Lord, a life filled with praise and victory. Now, I'm not excluding corporate worship, good church life worship, but my emphasis here, as we're focusing on the Christian home, is referring to a worship attitude that sets a joyful example for all family members within a home. Such worship experiences mold and build the spirit of a home. As they grow up, our children need, or in the case of most of us here today, we needed to have the experience and the power of God's word and prayer at home. For the homes of tomorrow, and I kind of hope we have some of them here today who are going to be creating homes of tomorrow, but maybe a long time from now. As Christian lives and Christian homes, they will need to experience the power of God's word and frequent times of prayer in the home. You see, homes that have this kind of worship regularly know it and show it by the lives of the occupants. A third belief that I have is that I believe in the dividends or the returns of a Christian home. A Christian home is a long-term investment that pays great and special dividends. And with a Christian home, those dividends are assured. The Christian home's market value is always appreciating rather than depreciating. Not everyone can become president, although we weren't sure this year, were we? Or an all-American athlete, or financially rich. But all young people who marry can do something creative about building a Christian home. I do not believe there is any other field of endeavor where contribution will bear such great dividends. Some years ago, there was a humble Christian home in England, the McDonald home, a home that had few of the luxuries and comforts of life, but they stayed close to the church and welcomed the church into all of their relationships. Now, that's a brief statement. It's way too brief about a Christian home of great continuing influence. Tell you a little more. The three daughters were born into that home. And these three daughters grew to young womanhood and eventually all married and built their own homes on the Christian principles of their childhood home. One of these girls, Elizabeth, became the mother of Edward Burne Jones, a highly productive and celebrated artist whose paintings were primarily of religious themes, and who was famous for the design of the stained glass windows of Christ Church Cathedral of Oxford, and stained glass in many other famous churches. Another daughter, Alice, became the mother of Rudyard Kipling, the famous author whose writings include numerous short stories and then novels like The Jungle Books and Captain's Courageous and many more. He was also a winner of Nobel Prize in Literature. The third girl, Louisa, became the mother of Stanley Baldwin, three times the Prime Minister of England, serving in British government from 1908 to 1937 when he retired. He's the only Prime Minister to have served under three kings of England. These are pretty amazing stories for one family. But the key to it was the parents of those three daughters who became mothers, parents who kept the home and the church, and the church and the home. And in return, God gave artistic beauty that inspires us, books and writings that thrill us, and a leader of freedom that has led to the liberation of us. The McDonald family and their girls are a great example of the great dividends. Their sons, the great dividends of a home that was dedicated to Christ. You know, the truth is we can all have Christian homes if we really desire them. We can have a home with the distinctive qualities of a Christian home. Our homes can have the dynamic force of Christianity. And as a result, through the power and influence of Christ, any and all of our homes can have the dividends that life in Christ produces. It's simply this. If we invite Him in, we can have Christ in our hearts and in our homes. We can have His daily leadership and His life and love. And this I also believe with all faith in God. All we need to do is make up our minds to make ourselves, our homes, available to Him. Shall we do it? We shall.